Okay, we are back here for part three with Caroline from Denmark. I have some questions from our listeners that they have submitted via social media for you. The first one is from my friend Michael, and he says, Caroline, what is your favorite smørrebrød recipe?
It was close. It was so close.
Did I almost get it?
Smørrebrød.
Smørrebrød.
Yeah, I take it. It's good.
I appreciate you being really kind about it. So that was the bread we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. The bread is like the foundation for every smørrebrød thing. You have that piece of bread, very characteristic piece
of
bread.
So Michael wants to know what you put on your...
Okay. Personally, I like avocado. That's not typical smørrebrød stuff. Like we talked about the liver stuff, that's a typical Danish thing. Not personally my favorite. I wasn't really into that as a child, so I guess I never... But some people really love it. I like putting salmon on it. I really like that.
Like smoked salmon?
Oh, yeah. That's really good. Or sometimes like tuna salad is really good on there, too. Otherwise, we have like sausages that we like to put on. Maybe sometimes like some roasted onions. And yeah, I like it.
So you can go in pretty much any direction.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned like the pork spread and then there's fish. You also said chocolate earlier.
Oh yeah, I that's just me. I like to put chocolate on it. It's like with a little bit of butter in between. Like it's really good.
So you can have some for like dinner and then some for dessert.
I'll probably do this dinner too, but yeah.
As dinner, that counts as dinner.
We can take it.
So there you go, Michael. It's pretty much anything you want.
Anything you want, basically. Okay, yeah, basically.
Sounds good. It's like it's kind of like a pizza. Like you can put whatever you want on that.
Oh yeah, cheese too. Like a lot of people just like cheese on it.
All right, I'm going to have to try that. Okay, next question, also from Michael. He wants you to describe the dating culture in Denmark.
Oh, wow.
So maybe like the differences that you've noticed from here in the States and then what you would change about it.
There's a lot of difference. In Denmark, we're not really that outgoing. So going on a date at home is kind of a big deal. Over here, it's like, oh, yeah, I went on a date with that guy. And then the same day, I go on a date with a different guy. Whoa, the first time one of my roommates did that, I was like, can you do that? Like, isn't that really, like, inappropriate? Like, I mean, like, yeah.
Would that be against the dating rules?
Yes, you wouldn't go on two dates at the same time with two different guys. You kind of, like, try it out and see if that's something, and then maybe you'll, like, if not, you're not really committed, maybe you'll date some, like, kind of see somebody else a little bit. But, like, there's definitely a line where you cannot cross that, and now you're too serious to see somebody else, or that would be disrespectful. And so, like, I've never been on a date at home. Never. It's not like, you mainly like go on dates actually when you're together. It's like typically you like hang out. You'd never call it a date, you just hang out. And sometimes in bigger groups or, you know, yeah, dating culture is way different.
So then once you've hung out and you've like had a conversation maybe, then you would go out on dates as a couple.
Yeah, I mean, you probably hang out for quite a while. We have like some people in Denmark, like, we're not in a hurry. Unlike here, like, we can get married when we're in our mid-30s, and we're not in a hurry at all, if you can get married. And so, like, we'd hang out in quite a while. I've known, like, people that, like, have something going on for a year without getting together officially. You know, like, just had something going on. We don't really know what it is. It's just chilling, you know?
Do you have similar terminology? Because, like, I feel like some of these phrases we also... I mean, you're obviously speaking English, but... Does it translate directly, like, when you say, like, oh, I'm hanging out with someone?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, just hanging out.
When it's not serious, and then you have different terminology for when you're dating.
Exactly. Like, when you boyfriend, girlfriend, we only have, like, casted, which just means, basically, it's both boyfriend and girlfriend. Same thing. We don't have different for
different
sexes.
That's what you would call
it. We only call
boyfriend.
It casted. We don't call boyfriend, girlfriend. It's, like, the same thing.
So, with that information... What would you change something about the dating culture of Denmark?
I would probably say we could give it a try. Because, like, I've been asking dates over here, and I've been, like, kind of like, whoa, what? Like, I don't know if I want to do that. Is that serious? Like,
feels like a big commitment.
Yeah, really. Like, to me, it's, like, really big commitment. And, like, woof. I really know how to feel about that. But it's really a good way to get to know each other. We're, like, too afraid of labeling stuff at home. And I feel like, okay, New Zealand maybe a little bit too quick on the labeling part. But... I also think that we might be a little bit too slow at home. Like, you can give it a try. Like, it's not going to hurt anybody to go see a movie. But at home, it's like, well, you went to see a movie? Like, are you something now? Like, take a chill. We don't have to be a thing just because we're going to go see a movie.
There's a happy medium somewhere in between.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, okay, you can go see a movie with a guy and just, like, have something going on, hanging out, whatever. But we were too afraid of, like, committing at, like, at a certain, to a certain extent. Or maybe that's just me. But, like, in general, we're a little bit more about the whole commitment thing. So I feel like a way in between might be healthy.
So, actually, like, loosen up a little bit.
Loosen up a little bit. Go see that movie with that guy and call it a date. It's not going to hurt you.
Life's all about balance, you know, so
exactly.
Find the balance there. Okay, one more question from my friend Danny.
Okay.
He submitted on Instagram. So there's a little background here. So Danny works for a renewable energy lab in Denver, and he was talking about how Denmark relies a lot on wind energy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he said, I think this is sort of tongue-in-cheek as a joke, but how do Danes deal with inevitable power outages that result from this hippie technology?
Nice.
Is there any issue with, like, the consistency of relying on wind energy?
I would say our problem right now is that we can't, like, we don't have found a way yet to capture the energy. So, like, we have to use it. When it's really windy, we produce a lot. And we even export to Sweden and Germany. We have so much wind power because it's, yeah, we live on islands, like, and it's windy all the time. So, and we typically have them in the ocean, too. Because there's been, like, some problems with, like, where you could put them because people, like, just, like, felt like it was disturbing them if it was, like, a windmill too close to them. So we haven't found a way to capture that energy yet. And I feel like once the scientists figure out how to do that, wow, like, that's going to be great. Because
once they figure out a mechanism for storing the energy.
Exactly. A way to store it. That's what I'm thinking. Thank you. A way to store it, that would be epic. That would be really great. So we're really big on it, on, like, wind energy, and we're, like, exporting a lot of windmills, like, also outside of Denmark and stuff like that.
So are there actually frequent power outages? Does that happen?
I would say that, I don't know. We're also, I don't know.
Like, growing up, did you have times when you would, like, the power would go out?
No. We also rely on other energy sources. We're not 100% relying on that kind of energy yet. We also had, like, a period where the government would, like, cut the tax on solar panels. So, for example, in my home, we have solar panels on our roof. So we can produce our own instead of using other heating system. We will just use that. So we're trying to... This is another thing. I mean, like, over here, it's like you guys sometimes don't really seem to care that much about how the environment is going on. I'm sorry if that's offending anybody.
That was very tactfully said.
I
appreciate... No, I think... Well, when we examine places like... Last week we had Reynaldo from Costa Rica,
mm-hmm.
who, when we were just talking about how they're almost 90% reliant on clean energy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then it's clear that Denmark also has a goal.
We have a, like, 2020 was, like, our goal to become mainly depending on energy sources like that.
And it's clear, obviously, from recent political changes that some of those goals have... We're going to fall far short of a lot of those
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the priorities, right?
Which, in my opinion, coming from a part of the world where we're at sea level, man, my country's going to disappear.
You got high stakes
in
this game.
Really. And, like, we see we're that close to Greenland, and actually we're connected to Greenland because on paper, we still owe them. Not in reality. Like, we actually pay money to them, so, like, they can, like, to support them. We don't really get any benefit from that, so I don't know.
So Greenland is technically a part of
We technically
Denmark.
Still owe them. But they're independent. Like, they have their independency. Like, they're a country themselves, but we still owe them. Like, whenever you have to vote and stuff like that, they vote too because we still have some kind of influence on them to a certain extent. But, yeah, so we really try to be good to the environment. And, like, it's been a huge thing for years. Like, the last decade, like, it's been a really huge thing, like, the environmental changes. And even, like, kids, they made songs about it, you know, about how to protect the environment and stuff. So... Also, like, Sweden and Norway are pretty big on it. Like, in general, the Scandinavian countries are pretty big in Europe.
I feel like they're just in that part of the world. There's a lot of progressive programs
mm-hmm.
That have been adopted by the governments.
Yeah,
a lot of European countries have those goals. And obviously, I would like to see the same thing happen in the United States. But we've had a step backwards in that category. But hopefully, the environmentalists will continue to work hard and push our agenda.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, hopefully.
There's real lives at stake here, people. If you want to go visit Denmark, it's got to be above the water, right?
Hopefully. Like Atlantis. We're going to be like a disappearing country. Right?
I really hope
that.
Really hope not. We'll make a change. I feel confident. Okay, Caroline, I have some interesting facts about Denmark.
Oh, I'm so...
I always have a disclaimer with this section. I really just Google interesting facts Denmark.
Okay.
And as we know, Google sometimes can bring up things that aren't entirely true. So that's my disclaimer. I don't know the veracity of some of these claims.
But I'm excited for this.
I will just dive right on in. So we talked about the first one, which is Denmark is an archipelago of 100 islands.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of mentioned it.
We have a lot of connected islands.
With bridges.
Yeah.
I didn't know the thing about a bridge to Sweden. How long does it take to drive to Sweden?
For me, it's easier to get to Sweden than to the next island, almost.
So is your island, like, one of the closest to Sweden?
Yeah, like, I am... Okay, so my island is, like, the closest to Sweden.
We have a globe in the...
Yeah, sorry. Like, this is Denmark, and we have, like, that main piece connected to Germany. Then you can't really see it, but, like, it's some two small islands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, like, if you were driving across the bridge, it would take you how long?
Oh, man, depends on what part of Sweden, like 2 hours, and that would be like, a pretty big city in Sweden. Like, yeah, it's really neat. And, like, if you want to go for a weekend or even just a day trip skiing, because we don't have any mountains in Denmark, we'd go to Sweden or Austria to the Alps and stuff. Really enjoyed the Alps a lot. It won't take you that long. You can do a day trip, and it's cool.
That, to people from this part of the United States, is so amazing because we drive 4 hours and we're still in Utah.
Yeah, we can drive a day, and I'm in a whole new place in Europe.
I know. That's something that I am always really envious of, is the ease of travel in Europe. Okay, fact number two.
Okay.
Denmark has more than twice the amount of bicycles than cars. Copenhageners pedal more than 1.13 million kilometers on their bicycle each day. So that's to say, bike culture is huge.
It's huge. Like, you learn how to bike when you're a kid, and it's a big thing. And especially in Copenhagen, you have to, if you're driving in Copenhagen, you better be a good driver. Because, like... Your chance of running somebody over who comes on a bike real fast is there. So you really have to be staying like on top of your driving.
Is there really good bike infrastructure? Like, are there bike lanes on the
roads?
There
are. There are bike lanes all the way. Like, the infrastructure in that way is really good in Copenhagen especially. But I would say, like, as a child, I would always bike to all my sport activities. Like, from the age of 10, I basically would bring myself everywhere. Cars, like I said, we pay a lot of taxes. So, like, gas is super expensive. So, like... It's more affordable for you to just go by yourself if your parents can pick you up. And in Denmark, too, we don't have a lot of parents who don't work. So typically, they work and they work long hours. So the kid will have to, like, transport themselves to different places. And so that's by bike.
So if you want to get around, you use a bike.
We have, yeah, everyone in my family has a bike and we have two cars. So, yeah, I guess we have double the amount just in my household. Bikes.
Was that surprising to you when you came here and you noticed that pretty much everybody drives everywhere?
I was surprised how like college students can afford so nice cars. I've seen like family sized cars, really like new ones, in the parking lot right here. And I'm like, you are a broke college student. How can you afford a car? Like, to me, that's so insane. In at home, you cannot afford a car. That's why there's so many people biking. Like, you can't afford a car until you, like, have a job and you're, like, settled down. Like, whoa, to have a car, that's a pretty big deal.
A lot of people are gifted cars when they turn 16 from their...
That's insane.
From their family. I speak from personal experience. I had a car
given
to me. Oh, yeah, when I was 16.
Oh, sweet 16, man.
Sweet 16. I mean, it was a used car, but it was
still,
it was great.
It's a car.
Yeah. I had it for 12 years and then it got stolen. That's another story. But anyway, I have a different car now. But... Here, there are places that are accessible by bike, but there's very little infrastructure, so you talk about putting yourself in dangerous situations.
I wouldn't feel comfortable biking here.
Yeah.
I would definitely not.
It's sort of this catch-22 where there's not infrastructure so people don't ride their bikes, but then people don't build infrastructure because people don't ride their bikes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you go to big cities, Denver, Seattle, Portland, some of these cities, there's a lot of really good bike infrastructure.
Do people then bike?
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, there's. Well, I moved here from Denver, and they've been doing a lot of initiatives to make it easier to commute to work by bike. That said, I mean, it's still compared to, for example, Copenhagen.
I totally get you guys with gas being so inexpensive and cars being so cheap and everything. Honestly, I get why you choose like the lazier, like, but still, like, people would take their car and drive to the other end of campus. Come on. you got legs. Use them.
It's like a 5-minute walk.
It's
a 3-minute drive.
The amount of time it takes you to get in the car, start the car, buckle up, find a parking spot, get in the next building, it's the same time as you could walk. Like,
I'm with you. Although I could be better about riding my bike to work. I'm going to start. You've inspired me.
Okay, nice.
So the bike culture, needless to say, in Denmark,
that is
awesome.
Probably true too.
Yeah. Very, very cool. I think that's awesome. Third fact, Denmark is tied with New Zealand as the least corrupt country in the world.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No.
I actually followed that up with some research because I was wondering where they got that information. Yeah, this year they did a study, some corruption, government corruption agency.
It's no wonder to me because we're really big on like equality, as I said earlier, and corruption is just not, you know, it's not okay. And I mean, it's not okay in anywhere, but if you find some dirt, okay, let's put it this way. I was surprised about this year's election in the way that there's so much dirt on your candidates. If you had that much dirt in Denmark, you wouldn't be running. Because, like, if you have a history like that, like, of course, like, it comes with a great responsibility and blah, 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 blah. But the second there's something going wrong with you at home in Denmark, if anything's come on the table, like, you're done. They'll kick
you're
you out
of the race.
You're out. Like, if you're a minister, if you're anything, you're out. We won't have you in our government if you've done bad stuff.
Here in America, I mean, not to say that we're anywhere on the scale of some countries, but there's a certain amount of dirt that just
mm-hmm.
comes with. You gotta play dirty to a certain point. So would you say that people in Denmark generally trust politicians?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in general. Like, we don't necessarily agree. Like, we have a lot of different views. Like, we're socialistic, and we're like, you guys would all see even our most, like, radical parties that are not socialistic in our eyes, like, super socialists. But at the same time, like, I don't know, we just trust our government so much more, and we trust them to have our backs. We pay that, like, high amount of taxes, and that means that when we're like, capable of working, we pay back. And then when we are falling, if we get in a not-so-good situation, somebody is getting sick, we're taking education, long education, you get old, you need support, like, they have your back.
There's safety nets.
When you are weak, we have a lot of safety nets going on. So we really trust our government. And when something dirty is going on, we're really hard. Like, we're like, okay, that cannot be true. You're off.
So there's also a lot of transparency. Like, you're able to see a lot of what's going on.
Yeah, with our free press and stuff like that, people go hard. Like, if they can find dirt on you, they will. And sometimes it's not always fair. Sometimes they'll make up stories that are not true. And then this person could actually lose their position because of rumors. And that is, of course, not fair, but that happens too. It's the backside to it. But we're really, really big on our freedom of speech.
And freedom of the press, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, freedom of the press, definitely. Like, we had the whole, not so fortunate in my, like, in anybody's opinion, we had the Muhammad drawing of Muhammad with a bomb in his turban. And that actually caused a lot of debate in Denmark. Because some people were like, oh, yeah, we have the freedom, the right to do that. And yet we do. But then we come back to my whole thing about respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty split because I do support, of course I do support the right of the freedom of like press and speech and whatnot, and to draw whatever you want. And it's only a drawing, but that's the thing. In Denmark, we're not that religious. Like, there's room for every religion, but we're not, you know, that radical in it in any way. You'll find a lot of Danish people who are not believing in anything.
It's a pretty secular country for the most part.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But then again, I was like, why did you have the need to do that? Why did you have the need to step on somebody's religion just to prove your point?
At one point, there's a line there, and at some point it just becomes instigating.
It was right on the line. Like, our prime minister, because we have a queen in Denmark, so we don't have a president or kingdom. Some of the countries wanted our prime minister to go out in public say he was sorry for this, and he did not want to. He refused.
Hmm.
He cannot do that.
Yeah. That's something that is really admirable, though, is that in Denmark you still do, for the most part, trust your politicians, and
mm-hmm.
that's something.
For the most part.
I feel like there's always a certain level of distrust, healthy distrust. I feel like our politics have gotten to the point now where we distrust pretty much everybody involved, so.
In my opinion, way too much. I actually visited one of my friends' boyfriend's families, and they're really Republican, and all the respect to that. But he explained to me why he had a gun room. And it was because, oh, we have to write, and every government is corrupt. And the second he said that, I was like, how can you have a government you don't trust? I tried to explain to him how we work with our tax and how they have our backs and stuff like that. He's like, oh, look through history. Every government is turning corrupt at one point. And I was like, okay, that's one way to have a community. I mean, that, in my opinion, that's not a healthy relationship between government and the people. Because I'm used to mainly trusting my government. Of course, like with this whole new, we also have had changes in Denmark about like this more radical groups are like not so pro-immigrants and stuff like that, which I don't agree with, but that's just my opinion. And so I think it's pretty frightening that they're like getting a rise right now and they're getting a lot of support and votes. And of course, I don't agree. And to me, that's a little bit scary that they get more influence on how we're going to rule our country and how we're going to like approach other cultures and other people in need. But then again, that's our political system. And we vote directly. We don't vote through
Electoral College.
Exactly. We vote directly. So I can vote for... We have like 8 different parties in Denmark. And they're not... There's not nearly enough, in my opinion. Because there's never going to be anybody who can like support all your personal values. But you'll find the party that you believe like is mostly like what you want to do. And then they'll like group together and vote for the prime minister. And then that person will be in the, it will be in the seat. And so our vote counts directly. Whatever you vote for, it goes directly in there. And we've never had a thing with somebody becoming our leader.
Who didn't win the most amount.
Unless they're like collecting different parties. They're like small parties, but they're enough to like become the majority. And then they'll like
vote for that person. Form a coalition.
Mm-hmm. And then and that way we can get a leader that we didn't vote directly for. But our voice will always be heard to some extent. And I feel like that's nice.
Yeah. I think also that's something where a lot of people just sometimes get really disenchanted with government and they feel like, oh, it's better if I just don't participate. And that's the problem is people, when they don't feel like their voice is being counted, then they just check out and then
I've heard a lot of students.
Then their voice is definitely not counted, right?
Exactly. I've heard a lot of students here. I've talked to a lot of students. They were like, oh, I'm not going to vote because it doesn't count anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, how can you say you got the right to vote? Like, people have fought for this right in forever and you're not using it.
Get out there and vote, people. That's what we're here to do.
Vote.
Motivate you.
Vote.
All right. Here's my last fact for you.
Bring it.
I guess it's kind of a fact. So there's a type of Danish butter, Lurpak?
Lurpak.
Lurpak.
Lurpak, yeah.
It says it's world famous and can be bought in stores in more than 100 countries. So what's the appeal? Is Lurpak, is it really
It's
delicious?
Pretty big. I mean, okay. I'm not a real Dane in the way that I actually like a different type of butter, like a little bit more like on my hupel, I like a different type of butter, but people, this is the real butter. And like, just the other day, we were having like a Scandinavian dinner thing with another Swedish girl and our Danes and stuff like that. And we were eating, more Scandinavian food. And she actually had Lurpak because she could find it here. She could find it in the States. And I was like, whoa, you could? Like, that's amazing to me that you could find it here, like half around the world almost. So I'd say it's true. I don't know the facts. But that's pretty surprising to me in some way, too. Like, 100 countries. That's a lot.
100 countries. That's what it says, again, on the internet. So who knows?
On the internet.
I'm going to look for this. In the grocery stores. I'm going to see if I can find it in Cedar City, Utah.
Do so.
I'm going to do a little taste test.
She found it somewhere. So that was great. Oh,
okay.
Man.
I might have to ask her where she got it. We'll bring some in for some tasting here.
Invite me, please.
Awesome. All right. That's all I have for you, Caroline. Thank you so much for coming in. It was fascinating.
Thank you for inviting me.
I feel like we could have talked for hours, but
we
didn't want to subject the listeners to that. So, if you guys want to know more about Denmark, please ask someone.
Feel free.
Caroline's here. We have lots of Danish students on campus. Wherever you are, the conversation is the most important thing, right? So a few things to mention before we sign off. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/intlvoicespodcast. And on Instagram, our handle is international_voices. Please follow us there. Give us some likes. Leave some comments there. We always announce who our next guest is going to be and encourage questions from the listeners. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just search International Voices and look for our podcast artwork, which is a black, white, and red logo that my good friend Michael Turnbull did such a great job in designing for me. Again, we like to hear back from the listeners, so please give us some feedback and stay tuned. We'll be back next week with another great episode. Thanks.
Come